done.
All I need are gleaming white teeth.
We can help you.
Can you find the right dentist for me?
Dr. Randy Coulteritis, he does cosmetic dental.
Will he hurt me?
No, he's gentle.
I'm terrified of pain.
He's the kindest in the land.
He sounds great. Could you repeat his name?
Dr. Andy Coulteritis, 219-836-1111.
Thanks.
The Rotary Club of Hammond proudly presents a special presentation of the award-winning comedy Laughing Stock at the Toll Theater, 5205 Homan Avenue in Hammond on April 11th. Tickets cost $50 per person. A portion of the proceeds will benefit the Catherine McCauley Clinic. Doors open at 5:30 and the show starts promptly at 7 p.m. Hors d'oeuvres, sparkling water, soft drinks, and special desserts included with ticket, cash bar, and silent auction also available. For reservations, please call 937-8780 or visit tolltheater.org. Mark the date, April 11th at the Toll Theater. Spend your evening laughing while helping out a great cause.
WJOB 902 in the region right now, and the following half hour is paid for by the Edison Community Watch Group. And hey, this is all about Community Watch and taking care of you folks out there. At this time, I will turn over the microphones to Mrs. Janet Vanez, Councilperson at Large in the City of Hammond, and Mr. Jim Callahan of the Code Enforcement Department in Hammond, Indiana. Janet, good morning. Take it away.
Good morning, Gene. Good morning, Region. Welcome to the Edison Community Watch Show. We are an all-volunteer community group that meets the first Wednesday of each month at Edison School in Hammond. This month, however, due to school being closed for spring break, we will be meeting this coming Wednesday, March 27th, 6:30 p.m. at Edison School. Our guests will be Linda Gergel from the Office of the Indiana Attorney General and Katie Goodrich, a senior at Gavin High School, who recently won the VFW Voice of Democracy essay competition. We so often only hear about the bad things that kids do. We feel it's really important to highlight some of our focus kids who contribute to the community. So we're really excited that Katie agreed to join us. Crime Watch and community groups in the City of Hammond have become a valuable tool in our community. We've informed our residents how to be the eyes and ears of our police department and city, and most importantly, to make the call if you see something that is just not right. Call the police. Because community is not just about me, it's about us. Our meetings are not just about crime, but neighborhood safety as well, and that includes the constant battle with the growing number of rental properties in Hammond. This morning, our guest is Jim Callahan, Chief of Inspections with the City of Hammond. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, Region.
Thanks for joining us. If anybody has any questions for Jim, the number is 845-1100. Jim, how many homes do we have in Hammond, and approximately what percentage of those homes are rental properties?
We have roughly 29,000 homes. We have, I think last year, nearly 10,000 registered rental units, which to me is a high number.
That is a very high number. Yeah. And in the City of Hammond, anyone who owns a rental property must register that property, correct?
Correct.
And if they don't?
If they don't, then we go through a procedure. We will send them a letter, first of all. asking them please register their property. If they don't register, we will cite them. And if they don't show up for court, we'll send them to collections.
Oh, okay. And once someone registers their property, then the code enforcement department can go in and inspect that property, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what do you find when you go in to inspect a lot of these properties?
We find a lot of different things. Some houses are immaculate. A lot of them are in need of improvements, let me put it that way. One thing we have found, when city ordinances were adopted, for example, you were required to have two electrical outlets per bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see a lot of are extension cords everywhere now because of all the large screen TVs, all the electronic equipment that people use. So we're looking at changing ordinances and requiring more receptacles, maybe so many feet apart, because a majority of the fires, from what I understand, start because of electrical issues.
Mm-hmm.
We find a lot of things. I mean, we found a lot of hoarders, which shocked me. I never heard of a hoarder before I started working for the city. I know we walk out of there at times with cockroaches, fleas, and everything on us. The conditions some people live in are just totally unacceptable.
Mm.
And we find that we either turn it over to the health department, we mark them uninhabitable. We have a great relationship with North Township. If we do mark a building uninhabitable, I contact North Township. They find a place for these people to stay until the owner cleans the property up or makes it safe.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there are a lot of absentee landlords in Hammond?
Oh, yes, there are. Yes, there are. One that really sticks to my mind, it was a property in Hessville, and Chris Cantor cited them a few times, had to try to get the owner in court. She lived in California. So the owner and Chris Cantor, they communicated by email. And the owner actually told Chris, how do I know if the grass needs to be cut? I'm in California.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I mean, that's the kind
grass
of thing.
Grass doesn't grow in Hammond?
I don't know. But, yeah, we have a lot of absentee landlords. Now, let me be real clear on something. Many of the landlords are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
What we like to do, and this is something I changed early on, is not cite somebody. Okay, the first thing you do is knock at the door. You create a relationship with people. You know, I'm Jim Callahan, inspector in your area. Would you please, cut your grass? That way you don't receive a letter that you have to go to court. I don't believe in taking people to court when you can communicate and get the work done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the very first things that I noticed and the first changes I made is try to create a relationship with the people and not cite them. And as a result of that, I've seen our court cases drop dramatically. Majority of them cooperate very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can residents, homeowners or other renters in the neighborhood, how can they help you, help us?
They, a lot of times we'll receive calls. They'll be anonymous. And even if they're anonymous, we have a responsibility of, inspecting the property, checking them out or whatever. Calling us when you see activity such as construction going on, make sure there are permits. A lot of the illegal cut-ups we find or have found were because there were no permits or a permit was issued to put a roof on and they're putting two apartments in the house. So anytime you see construction going on, just call. We look up the address, and we can tell within 30 seconds whether it's done by a licensed contractor or not.
And I a lot of times at the Crime Watch meetings, we hear about residents of rental properties, unfortunately. And as you said before, we need to preface this by saying that not all landlords and tenants are problems.
Oh, absolutely. But
the ones that are problems certainly shine the light on the problems that we encounter in Hammond. But at some of the Crime Watch meetings, I hear a lot of complaints from people about a tenant who is having loud parties. They've got the music going. They have traffic coming and going at all hours of the night. What do you do with properties and complaints of that nature?
Well, just recently I had a program installed that every morning the very first thing I do is run every police call from the previous day. And I'll log that into that address in our system. Again, it depends upon the nature of the call. If you have loud music and you have 10 calls in a week, then what I do is I turn it over to the city attorney, Chris Cantar, who does an excellent job. And she'll write the landlord a letter saying, listen, we've had 10 calls there in a week for loud music or whatever the call was for. And if you continue to do this, we'll cite you as a nuisance property. Mm-hmm. And we requested on our rental registration this year an email address so that when I see this, I'll send the owner an email myself and just say, hey, be aware of this. Your tenant had 3 calls last night for loud music or, you know, domestic dispute or whatever. And Chris will write the landlord again and say, listen, please take care of this. You know, our resources we have a lot more important things for our officers to do than come and tell you to turn your music down.
Mm-hmm.
So we became very proactive with that. And again, the majority of the problem properties are isolated to a very small number of the rental properties.
Mm-hmm. What happens if a property is declared a nuisance property?
Then the owner, it will be cited. If the judge finds him guilty, he'll be asked to evict the tenants, and he'll be fined $2,500.
A day?
No, per the violation.
Oh, per violation. Okay. And you've been very successful with that?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to mention was the fact that the inspections department has a Facebook page. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. That can be found at inspectionsdepartment@yahoo.com. And we post demolition properties, nuisance properties, photos of inspections on properties that we've done. And I actually get a lot of private messages there. People informing me of problem properties in their area. A lot of them want to know when certain properties will be demolished. And we just don't demolish a property. We do what we call an order to repair. And that is we tell the owner, please fix your property up. But what we found is in a lot of cases, the landlord's not willing to invest. They'll walk away from the property. And then we have no choice but to demolish it. Occasionally, they're bought on tax sale, and someone will purchase the property, fix it up, and keep it on the tax roll. And that's our goal. But we don't want a boarded-up property sitting there for any length of time. And I'll never forget when the mayor first called me and told me that I was in charge of demolitions. I was driving by a house on Jackson every day for 3 years, and it was boarded up, high grass, whatever. And I would think, my gosh, every Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthday, anniversary, my kids come over, they see this property. And also what it does to the property value in that area. And when the mayor put me in charge of demolitions, that's the very first house I put on the list. And once we knocked it down, we received quite a few calls, people thanking us.
Mm-hmm.
But again, our goal is not to knock a house down, it's to get it remodeled and looking as good as the other houses in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the property values up.
Absolutely. As you know, I go to a lot of the Board of Works meetings, and I'm always astounded at the number of houses that are on the agenda for demolition. And it surprises me, really, that people walk away from them. I guess what surprises me is that had the city of Hammond not gone after that property, that person who owned the property very likely could be renting to people who would have unsafe living conditions. So I think that you guys do a really good job for the safety and the well-being of the people who do choose to rent in the city of Hammond.
And that's our job.
Right.
Actually, we have a lot more illegal cut-ups in front of the Board of Works than we do demolitions.
Mm-hmm.
We were averaging eliminating 100 a year, and we're at 100 already this year.
Wow.
And I expect to see us at 300 or 400.
Mm.
You know, we really raise the expectations of what we want out of our inspectors, and they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
They really
mm-hmm.
are.
Yeah. How much does it cost to demolish a house? I know it probably varies.
It varies. I'll say the average cost is about between $8,000 and $9,000.
Okay. And then once the city pays for the demolition of the property.
Not all of them.
Sometimes not all of them?
The bank, sometimes the owner, and when not, the city does. Then we put a lien on the property.
Okay. And do you get any... what's the reaction of the banks, I guess?
The banks, from what I see right now, are not willing to put any money in a property.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll pay for the demolition, sometimes they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really eager to put $8,000 to $10,000 in a property.
And $8,000 or $10,000 is probably on the low end.
Very much.
Yeah. We do have a caller. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very well, and you?
Great, thank you. A little earlier, you had mentioned the extraordinary amount of hoarders your department runs across when doing random inspections and so on and so forth. There's a reality TV show on one of the cable networks. I think it's called Hoarders. And last year, I'm sure you're probably aware of it, they focused on a individual in the city of Hammond that was on the verge of losing custody of his child because of a extraordinarily bad hoarding situation that he had. They never really gave a follow-up as to what that individual's status was. Are you familiar with that story? And do you have an update as to what the status is with that particular individual and whether or not, he was able to get custody of the child, so on and so forth?
I'm vaguely familiar with it. We did not. That was really handled by the county. But my understanding is he still has issues there, and he still does not have custody of his child.
Okay, and that was in the city of Hammond?
That was on Holman Avenue, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hammond code enforcement or the Hammond inspector had nothing to do with that? It was strictly the county?
We were out there, but the county health department handled the situation.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The health department, I'm sure you work closely with on a lot of properties because it is outside of your purview. I know that everybody has had a reduction in the number of employees in their departments. Do you find it difficult to get in touch with the health department, or are they very cooperative?
They're very cooperative. Like us, like our department, they could use a few more people, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a very good job
mm-hmm.
when we call them out there.
Mm-hmm. I had a situation on a street in the 4th District, and the gentleman was just, he's a homeowner, but a nuisance to the neighborhood, and he would intimidate the neighbors. And it wasn't until we got the health department involved that he really calmed down a little bit. He had a pool in his backyard that was black, and here we are during the summer with West Nile concerns, you know, so the health department was instrumental in getting this gentleman to clean up his property. We have another caller. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hi. I just wanted to say, Jim, I think you're doing a fantastic job. You know, I've lived in Hammond for 76 years, and I can remember when yards were all manicured, and then slowly things started getting bad. And now since you've taken over, it's been great. You really are working hard. I know that. But I do have a concern. There's a car from Illinois, and just about every month they drive up and down the streets, I know in Robertsdale and North Hammond, and throw newspapers out the windows all over the sidewalk, the parkway, and in yards. Isn't this littering? And they're from Illinois. I don't know why they do this.
It's a newspaper?
Yeah. Yeah, a Spanish newspaper. And the car's from Illinois, and they throw them up and down the street about once a month. And we're getting tired of picking these things up.
Well, if you get me a copy of that, Bonnie.
Sure, I sure will.
And I will turn it over to Chris Cantar. We'll cite them. Mm-hmm. Might be able to cite them as nuisance. I'm not sure. I'll have to discuss that with Chris.
Yeah, and they threw them out yesterday, so I took the one out of my parkway and brought it in the house and saved it in case I could turn it into somebody.
Okay. And Bonnie and I happened to have a conversation about this situation back in December when they threw the papers out. And I did call the company, and I told them, you're more than welcome to deliver your papers, but put them on the porch. When you throw them in the parkway, that's littering. And, you know, a lot of times people just don't go out there to pick it up, and then it ends up that our neighborhoods look trashy.
Well,
so
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. All righty.
Okay,
thanks. You, Bonnie.
Bye.
All right. We do have another call. Raimundo?
Hey, good morning. Very nice show.
Thank you.
I love to see you guys on the streaming, and love the fact that you're disseminating so much good information. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I wonder if you would shed some light on kind of two issues, small scale and large scale. On a small scale, when you tear down a house and the house becomes a vacant lot, a lot of times they'll seed it, they'll put the grass seed down, and if the homeowner is not is away or has given up the property, those empty lots become kind of catch-alls for garbage and weeds, and they go fallow, you know. And there's a couple here in the north side by the Taco Royale. It's not much we can. What can we do about those kinds of properties? The building has been taken down, but there's nobody there. The homeowner doesn't cut the grass, and it just goes back to nature.
Well, Raimundo, I do have a suggestion. There was a house torn down in my neighborhood, and it was quite a controversial situation. And I was told by someone, well, that lot is just going to be filled with garbage, and it's going to make the neighborhood look nasty. And I got to thinking, what could we do so that does not happen? I'm in the process of finding out exactly who the lender is that owns that, or the bank that owns that property. And St. John Bosco is kitty corner from the property. I'd like to suggest a community garden.
Right.
And that was just one thing that I came up with. You know, it's like with anything else. We all have a responsibility in our city to make it the best that it can be. And sometimes it's only a few that step up. And I think this would be a way to get kids involved, help some of the seniors in the neighborhood. So I'll see if I can make that happen. But that's one suggestion from me. Jim, do you have anything?
Yes, Ray. There are times when we do knock down a property, for example, and the neighbors want that lot. If they purchase that lot, we will remove the lien. Sometimes they'll split it half and half and give themselves a much larger yard. I know one lady that actually did that, planted a garden. Then we don't have to maintain it. If no one purchases it, then the city's responsible to maintain it.
Yeah, there's a place here in the north side, and I own the property, an empty lot next to it. You remember the house. The house was torn down north of Taco Royale on Oak. There's two lots next to each other. I own one, and it's beautifully manicured, and the grass is growing. It's nice. The one next to it is just horrible. And I cleaned it up. We go out there, my crew, we pick up the garbage. But you got to get tired of picking up after somebody else, knowing that this guy, he won't sell to me. I don't know if he's waiting for property values to come back up. So it's just a hassle. We get tired. I get tired of going and taking on the cost of cutting the grass or picking up the garbage when I know that the guy is just leaving it the way it is for a reason. I don't know. What about other bigger properties, Jim? What about what's going to happen to the property at the old Premier Candy Company? Will that be seeded? Will that become a green space? Is it going to be just, obviously not going to be rubble, but.
Oh. City ordinance requires it to be seeded. If it's not seeded, we will hold back part of the demolition funding to the contractor until it is seeded, especially, you know, winter months they can't seed it. So we'll withhold a little money until it is seeded. As far as development, I'm not sure of any development in that area. That would be a redevelopment commission.
All righty. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, guys.
We have another caller. Good morning, Lee.
Hi, Janet and Jim.
Hi.
Good morning, Lee.
Just had a couple of quick questions. One of them is on these yard sales. What is the procedure now to get a permit for a yard sale? I keep hearing different things.
It is a no-cost permit. You can't. I believe you can get the permit online, can't you, Jim?
I'm not sure.
Okay, but it's through the Board of Works.
Correct.
And the Board of Works approves it. The ordinance does say one yard sale per year. However, that is not strictly enforced. The purpose of the ordinance was to eliminate the yard sales that were happening every weekend.
Okay.
So
now I've heard that you've got to go down to the clerk's office and fill out the paperwork. Then do you have to appear in front of the board or
no.
How does that work?
No, you just mail it in and they will approve it at the Board of Works and then they'll send you your permit in the mail.
Okay, but right. You can't pick up the forms at the clerk's office, right, or online?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's online or not.
Okay.
You can call the law department, and they'll be able to tell you.
The other thing, real quick, I know Ray mentioned about these eyesore homes. You know, we got an abandoned one. It's bank-owned next to us. It's been empty for about 3 years, and they're really not doing anything to maintain it. And how long is the process before the city gets involved in trying to take these properties and maybe knock them down?
It depends upon the condition of the property. Is it boarded up?
Oh, yeah.
My email address is callahanj@gohammond.com.
Okay.
Send me the information. I'll get photos of it and check with the water department and see what we can do for it, Lee.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All righty. I wanted to touch on one more thing with you, Jim, before we leave. I understand that you often accompany the police department on drug busts and excise calls and most recently Dodo's, and that was shut down for code violations, correct?
Electrical, yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So you do accompany the police?
We accompany PD on any search warrant for a rental property. Anytime they go to the bars, excise, we will go with them. We actually have officers assigned to go with us on a lot of our inspections. Also, when the property has a history of violence, pit bulls, things like that. And we have a great relationship with PD. We work very, very well together. And I'm very impressed with the job they do in our city.
I couldn't imagine having to go to inspect some of these properties. And, you know, not everybody is welcoming because they may be trying to hide something or they just don't want you in their property or their space anyway. So
you find it can be very interesting at times. You find a lot of I won't say a lot of, but you'll find, you know, drugs, you'll find crack pipes, things of that nature. And when we find that, PD usually arrests them right on the spot. And myself, pit bulls, I have a little concern about pit bulls, and we like an officer with us in that situation.
Yeah, I can imagine. There was a situation in Hessville, wasn't there, that the door was opened and the pit bulls charged?
I was called out, and PD was doing their thing, and I'm doing our inspection, and I opened a bedroom door, and there's a pit bull head looked as big as a steering wheel. And I don't know who was more alarmed, him or I, when I first opened the door. And all of a sudden, he charged, and I slammed the door shut. But it put a little fear in you.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. You know, it's sometimes hard to understand the different ways of life out there, shall we say.
I think I've experienced about everything. We've seen everything from bodies to pit bulls, fleas, cockroaches, you name it, we see it. It's amazing.
Well, I and the rest of the city of Hammond thank you and your department for everything that you do, because you are truly making Hammond a better place to live.
Well, and I was born and raised in Hammond, and I'm going to stay in Hammond. I love the city, and that's our job. And the mayor wouldn't expect anything less out of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All righty. Thanks again, Jim, for
You're
everything
welcome.
That you do. Well, we're just about out of time. We ask that the region think about us, not just me. Attend a Crime Watcher community meeting. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. For a list of Crime Watch meetings, you can visit HammondCrimeWatch.com or EdisonCommunityWatch.com. You can contact me through the Edison website, and I'd be more than happy to help with any concern you may have. Again, Edison Community Watch meets this Wednesday, March 27th, 6:30 p.m. Thanks, Region. We look forward to talking to you next month. And remember, community is not just about me. It's about us. They're watching you, watching you, watching you.